Hakeem Bellamy, you are Albuquerque's very first ever poet laureate and our current poet laureate. Let's give her a shout out.
Jessica Helen Lopez is the bomb.
She's amazing. And as the poet laureate of Albuquerque, you really did just a ton of community service, and you continue to do that to elevate poetry in our community, to reach out to kids to help them create poetry. You've reached out in so many ways. And I want to just thank you for all that, because you've been amazing.
Thank you. It kind of all, as far as the community work, a lot of it started here, right here in this studio, because my first job when I got into the UNM communications program and moved here from Philadelphia, from South Jersey, I was here like a week before the first work study job that I thought was attractive was working in a newsroom here at KUNM. And that's where I met you. That's where we met. And
you were very young. So was I.
Yeah. Well, you know, but at least we still have our looks, Katie. But
yes, we do.
It was 3 years of news. And really, for me, that was a great kind of politicization and activation point, learning about New Mexico news and history and politics. And I've kind of tried to be involved ever since then.
And you sure have been. I've seen you up in Santa Fe. I've seen you on the Roundhouse floor. I've been just so impressed with you being at really almost every cool thing. And here you are at the Children's Hour.
The coolest thing.
Thank you.
The coolest thing on wheels, even though we don't have wheels.
Well,
it's okay.
You never know. Let's talk Black History. It's the end of Black History Month. We've been doing stuff all month, but I've been really psyched to have you in particular, because you bring really a lot of just art to the whole concept of Black History Month. And so I'm really happy you're here to talk to us about Black history.
You know, what's cool is I think for those that don't know, I don't know if I'm allowed to cross promote, but I have the pleasure of hosting Colores, which airs Friday evenings at 9 on New Mexico PBS on KNME. And, you know, I do these interviews with artists, and they kind of, we delve into like the artistic spirit and what inspires them to continue to create, right? And what their work means to them and what they hope it means to other people. But I'm like giving it away. A couple of weeks from now, we're going to have a guest by the name of Kanupa Hanska, and I want to give him some props, because he was talking about tradition and history and how we get really romantic about nostalgia. So it's easy to talk about Martin Luther King. It's easy to talk about Rosa Parks and these people in the past, but it's much harder to talk about people who are making Black history right now. It's much harder to talk about the protesters in Ferguson, because right now that's a political moment that where they still have power, and it's easy to look at the past and romanticize it, especially when those people are gone, and say, oh, how great leaders they were. But when we're doing it today and it's actually pushing back against power, people look at you as looters and rioters when you are actually creating Black history right now.
Well, and that's what's so surprising about the whole Ferguson thing, which some of our listeners might be too young to realize what happened. But basically what happened is an unarmed Black person, a man, was killed by police. And there really wasn't a proper investigation, and there were no charges filed. And this sounds very familiar to people who live in Albuquerque,
sure,
where we actually have very similar sorts of situations with police. And so what I want to ask you about is, why are we in the same boat? How could we not have got, sometimes it feels like we're pedaling backwards, and it feels like we should be a lot farther by now. And I wonder, what is your take on why we're here right now in this moment?
Man, yeah, I mean, history repeats itself, and everybody hears that phrase, it's trite. The phrase repeats itself because it's true. Like, usually when things are trite, and like, it's because they're true. And so history does repeat itself, and a lot of these things are cyclical. And that's the discouraging part for everybody at home, you know, crying in their coffee and hot chocolate. But the encouraging part is that, you know, what I've learned since moving here, mainly from the kind of indigenous heritage in New Mexico, is this idea of seven generations, right? And this idea that we can be encouraged when we look at our young people, when we look at, you know, the comments that were just made here about the park test, when we look at my son, that, you know, it stinks to say be patient and wait, because people did that, right? The women's suffrage movement, 80 years, 100 years of civil rights. But we know that we're making a difference. We know that that difference is coming slowly. And we know that the reward of the labor that we're doing now will be seen in future generations.
Will you say something about the seven generations? I think I understand what you're talking about, but in case listeners don't know what you mean by that.
Yeah, my understanding is really rudimentary. But like I said, I've learned it since I've moved here. But this idea that real paradigmatic, that's like our whole perspective, our worldview. That's what paradigm means. Real paradigmatic change happens in about seven generations worth of time.
Seven generations.
Yeah. So so like that, we are doing the work now that will be reaped by our great, 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 great grandchildren.
Which is why when you work in civil rights and justice, it's actually, even though it might feel like molasses pace, you're doing something. You're making a huge difference. And you brought up for a minute the women's suffrage movement from the turn of the last century. Mm-hmm. And yes, women earned the right to vote. But I was actually shocked to find out that our women senators, who we've elected, had no place to go to the bathroom in the United States Senate,
right. Yeah.
In Congress, as of like 10 years ago.
Wow.
They had no bathroom for women.
What'd they do?
Sorry, Anna.
What'd they do if they didn't have a bathroom?
That's a really good question. They had to actually leave the area right by the Congress, right by where you see folks on CNN or whatever, and they had to go to a totally different hallway that was like set up for secretaries to go to the bathroom. So in other words, the men's room was right there outside the door, mm-hmm. and the women had to truck all the way to a different part of the building and might miss out on votes, might miss out on conversations. And that's really, you'd think that by now we would have figured out the little things, but that's just nothing compared to people's children,
right.
who have to fear retaliation and that sort of thing. So Hakeem, but we know that there are people doing wonderful, amazing things, including you. And so talk to us a little bit about where we're going from here.
Well, locally, we're at the end of the month now, but I guess I can say this in advance of next year. So, you know, whatever, 11 months from now, be sure that you keep a lookout for the activities that are happening around the city and around the state around Black History Month. Catherine McGill, who's a fantastic artist in town.
Yes, she was on our show at the beginning of the month.
Organizer, right. So if you heard that show, you know that there were lots of events, which I think oftentimes get confused for that's what the Black community does. We throw events, we throw shows, but beneath those events is organizing, right? So bringing together restaurateurs and entrepreneurs to do a Taste of Soul Week like they've done, and then the year long work that we have to do as a community to kind of create programming for our children in the summer, right? And programming that's culturally relevant during the summer, mm-hmm. and being able to really engage, some of the work that I'm doing is trying to get young men together to discuss how they feel when they look at the TV and they see that on a regular frequency, perhaps weekly, that someone that looks like them, that's about their age or younger, is being shot or executed in the streets. And like, I think even as activists, you know, adult activists, you know, we go rally, we go write letters, we do demonstrations and things like that. But I think that in all this time since, you know, Garner and Martin, you know,
and
these Brown,
are people who were killed
right,
by police,
and all
who
this
black
time,
people.
Has mm-hmm. anybody like stopped all of that, you know, on all sides of the argument and looked at the young people and said, how do you feel? Like, how do we decompress this? How do we unpackage this? Right. If something happens in the school, you immediately have people that are there working with trauma and trying to help the students, you know, get past these things they see emotionally. Well, so my son is seeing this stuff on the TV every day. And even me as a parent sometimes is not sitting him down and explaining to him why this is happening. How do you feel when you see people that look like you disappearing from the planet?
That
you know.
Is really hard stuff for parents to have to deal with. New Mexico's black population is about 2.5% of our population here in New Mexico. But we actually have some pretty interesting local New Mexico black history, including a town in southern New Mexico that was founded by Buffalo soldiers and mm-hmm. their families. But there's so much more to talk about. And I know we want to get into your amazing poetry and all your talent. So let's go there.
Well, I actually am not going to start with my poetry because, you know, I hear it all the time. But so I was thinking, I know that let me go ahead and kind of preempt the next song. And then I'm going to read a little bit of Queen Latifah's work. And I'll tell you why. But the next song, Stevie Wonder, before I forget, Isn't She Lovely? I sent to Katie and Katie was nice enough to dig up and play. So all my Stevie Wonder fans get ready. But what I didn't know, having grown up listening to that song in my house all the time, I thought he was talking about, you know, a romantic interest. And I found out many years later, like maybe a year and a half ago, that Stevie Wonder actually wrote that for his daughter. So I thought that was appropriate for the Children's Hour. But this song, Ladies First by Queen Latifah, for all my old school hip hop fans out there, is actually covered in Nikki Giovanni's book, Hip Hop Speaks to Children. So it's an awesome children's book that Nikki Giovanni put
And by
together.
The way, has a companion CD.
And has a companion CD.
With all kinds of fabulous artists reading their own work. Hip Hop Speaks to Children.
Dig it. Yeah, and I'm like my Brushwood fame was that when Nikki Giovanni was here, shout out to West End Press and Amanda Sutton that brought them here, that brought her here. I got to share a stage with her and talk with her. She's so nice, and I was so starstruck. She might as well have been Justin Bieber. I was like, oh my God. So this is in her compilation, Hip Hop Speaks to Children. And I think, again, since we're on the cusp of Black History Month and Women's History Month, it was just fitting. So check it out. The ladies will kick it, the rhyme that is wicked. Those that don't know how to be pros get evicted. A woman can bear you, break you, take you. Now it's time to rhyme. Can you relate to a sister dope enough to make you holler and scream? Hey, yo, let's take it from here, queen. Excuse me, but I think I'm about to do to get precisely into what I'm about to do. I'm conversating to the folks who have no clue whatsoever. So listen very carefully as I break it down for you. Merrily, 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 hyper happy, overjoyed, pleased with all the beats and the rhymes the sisters have employed. Slick and smooth, throwing down the sound, totally a yes. Let me state the position, ladies first, yes.